السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألف لام ميم، ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله with the fazal karam and ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are gathered once again on this Mubarak occasion of Jumu'ah. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the barakat of this wonderful day. Allah ta'ala accepts our little ibadat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it a means of our salvation in the dunya, qabr and akhirat. Something that we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraging us over and over again in the Quran Sharif, and also Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dedicating many many ahadith for this particular thing, is encouraging us to spend of our wealth. There are different avenues that a person can spend. At times spending from our wealth is compulsory. At times it is something that is meritorious. If a person abstains from spending of his wealth when it is compulsory, for example, he abstains from paying his zakat, or he abstains from paying his sadaqatul fitr, or he abstains from his wajib qurbani, or he abstains from fulfilling his hajj, then these have very very disastrous consequences. And if a person fulfills these obligations, then he will receive sawab, he will receive a lot of reward. But these are at the end of the day obligations. So if a person is paying his zakat, or a person is doing his qurbani, etc., so these are duties upon him. He has to do it. Whether he likes it or not, he has to do it. Every believer upon whom these aspects are obligatory, he has to fulfill them, or she has to fulfill them. It is like salah. If a person is reading his 5 daily salah, then this goes without saying, he has to do it. It's something that's farz upon him, it's compulsory upon him. There's no extra wonders if he's reading his 5 daily salah. That's something that's farz, he's supposed to be doing it. Recently we were traveling, and it was just after Fajr, it was between Fajr and Ishraq time. And a youngster, young brother, and if you looked at his attire also, you wouldn't even think that this person is now going to be so conscious with regards to salah. He's wearing a t-shirt and a three-quarter pants, no topi on his head, nothing. But he came rushing towards us, and he wants to know that what is the time of Ishraq? Do I still have time to make my Fajr Sunnah? Now he saw us, probably had some topi on the head or some Islamic libas, so he thought that these people will be able to help me. So he comes and he was like frantic, and he's asking, what time is Shuruq? What time is sunrise? So we told him, so he still got a few minutes left, so he ran off now to go and try and make his salah. So this is how every believer is supposed to be, that when it comes to our salah, we are supposed to have fikr. When it comes to everything that is obligatory upon us, by us doing these things, we are just fulfilling the obligation, we are fulfilling the farz. So when it comes to spending our wealth also in those avenues where it is compulsory, then even if a person is giving 1 million rand in zakat, sometimes people who are extremely wealthy, they have to pay a lot of, they have to offset a lot of zakat. So they feel like, so much I gave so much of zakat. But in reality, what has the person really given? He has only given that 2.5% of his excess wealth. If he has to give that much of money in zakat, then he mustn't look at how much he is giving in zakat. He must look at how much Allah Pak gave him. How much Allah Pak has given him excess, that he just has to give this much in zakat. He's supposed to be looking at it like that. Now sometimes what happens is, after discharging of our obligatory monetary duties, monetary ibadat, then we feel that that much is our duty, we have given our, you know, we have discharged whatever is obligatory upon us, and now there is nothing more that is necessary upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in different ayat of the Quran Sharif, He has encouraged us, exhorted us, and also given many virtues regarding spending our wealth. What is the reason for this? Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, He is our creator, He has put us into the dunya, and He has also made it our duty to earn our rozi. It's our duty also to earn our rozi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this dunya, how enticing it can be. How enticing this dunya can be. Allah ta'ala is aware of it. Now on the one hand, a person has to work and he has to earn. On the other hand, he is told that don't love this dunya. Don't get too caught up in it. So the way to bring this balance is that a person, despite his love for his wealth, he spends off that wealth. Besides his obligatory duties that he has to do. But besides that, now he has got wealth. If he doesn't spend from this wealth, he has already discharged his zakat, he has been for hajj, he has done his qurbani, he has paid his fitra, everything. All his obligatory duties are done. Now he's got excess wealth. Right? If he doesn't spend from here, there's no problem. I mean, he can carry on accumulating it. There's no problem. But there is a fear that by him just accumulating this, his excess wealth, by him accumulating this, there is a fear that the poison of the love of wealth will enter his heart. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many places encourages us that spend off your wealth. Spend off your wealth. Because by spending, even on those occasions when it's not obligatory upon us, a person spends, then what will happen is that the love of this wealth will not come in his heart. The love of this wealth will not come in his heart. You know, sometimes it is seen that a person has a vehicle that he really likes. And he has this vehicle for a lengthy period of time. And then you hear people saying that this man is married to his vehicle. He's married to his vehicle. He can't part with this vehicle now. Sometimes that vehicle is gone old. It's antique. Right? It's costing him more to keep. It's an antique now. You can't even get spares for that thing. Nothing. But because the love for this thing has entered his heart, he can't let go of it also. He can't let it go. So our connection to this dunya mustn't be like that. Anything of this dunya, our connection to it mustn't be like that, where we get so stuck to it that after that it's very hard for us to part with it. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, Mohammad Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he used to always say that our connection to this dunya must be like Velcro. That at any time if you need to open it, you can open it. You need to close it again, you can close it. You need to open it again. No effect comes on it. Makes a little bit of noise. But no real effect comes. No damage comes. Mustn't have that type of an effect where we got stuck to it like glue. That now if you try to separate, the thing is going to tear. It's going to tear. You stuck two pages with glue, you try to separate it, that pages are going to tear. That type of taluk we must have with deen. That type of taluk we must have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That type of love we must have for Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That nothing can separate us, nothing can cause us to part. Nothing can make us miss a salah. Nothing can make us compromise the sunnah of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must have the deep taluk with our deen and connection with our deen. But when it comes to dunya, it must be like Velcro. At any time we need to open, we can open. We need to close, we must close. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the opening verses of the Quran Sharif, after Surah Al-Fatiha, comes Surah Al-Baqarah. Every person is acquainted with these verses. In the opening verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the muttaqeen. Allah Pak says that the Quran Sharif is a book of hidayat for those who have taqwa. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the muttaqeen. Allah ta'ala says, Alladina yu'minuna bil ghayb. They are those who bring iman upon the unseen. Wa yuqimuna as-salah. That they establish their salah. Wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. And from that which they have been given as rozi, as provision, they spend from there. In the opening verses, right in the beginning, Allah Pak is telling us that you must spend from your wealth. In another ayat, also in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the second surah of the Quran Sharif, so many ayat, Allah Pak is encouraging us to spend our wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. It's a whole ayat, we're not going into all the detailed tafsir. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he spends his wealth. Allah Pak is describing a person of piety. That he spends his wealth despite having love for it. Naturally, every person loves his money. Nobody can say that they got no love for their money at all. But because the person's love is more for the akhirat, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he utilizes this wealth. It's like how, at the end of the month, a person parts sometimes with a good chunk of his salary to pay his rent. He parts with a good chunk of his salary to pay his lights, to pay water. Right? If he can help it, he won't part with that money. But because he knows that I need a shelter, he knows I need electricity. So the need of that shelter and the need for the electricity and the water overrides the amount of love he has for that wealth. He's not rather used this wealth now for these amenities, for these few needs and necessities of my life. A foolish person will have money and sleep in the gutter. A man has got money, but he said, no, I love my money too much. I'd rather sleep in the gutter. No lights, no water, nothing. I don't want to pay for no rent, anything. I'll just stay here in the gutter. That will be a foolish person. Yes, if the person doesn't have, is a different story. But if a person has wealth, he will use the wealth to get himself a shelter, to pay for lights, water, etc. So the need for those things overrides his love that he has for his wealth. He's prepared to part with it. In the same way, the lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his excess wealth, we're not talking about the wealth that he needs for his needs and necessities, we're not talking about that wealth. From his excess wealth, he spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proportionate to the love he has for Allah. How much he loves Allah ta'ala, that's how much he will spend. Because he is spending to earn Allah's love, not for any other reason. So how much he wants Allah's love, that's how much he will spend. And as I said, the avenues are different. They are different avenues. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, let's start with your family. If there are needy people in the family, there are widows, there are orphans, there are, you know, people in need within the family, then start with them. It's senseless being generous everywhere else. And the own family members are suffering. Family members are in need. So start there with the people who are poverty stricken within the home. And then if a person has got more wealth, then he broadens his horizons. He broadens his investment. You see, you get some people, they have X amount of wealth. So they will buy one home, which is their need and necessity. They're living in that one house. Now the person got extra wealth, it's not, I can broaden my horizons a little bit now. I can have one holiday home also, you know. He got extra wealth, now I can buy properties as investment. The man who got little bit wealth, he can't buy properties for investment. He buy one property to live inside, or to do his business from. Now the man who has got extra, he says, no man, I can buy extra properties within the country as investment, for investment purposes. And then he got so much of wealth that this one country, investing in the one country, he said, no, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Let's now put offshore investment also. Put here, put there. So that's a person who is investing for the dunya. A person who is investing for the akhirat. He also has the same mindset. He says, right, I need to take care of the needs and necessities of my wife, my children, myself. That's my first obligation. So he has done this. But he has still got extras. So he broadens his horizons. Now let me look at the broader family. He still got more. Now let me look at the neighborhood. He still got more. Right, let me see now who else I can assist. Where else can I help? Can I send money overseas? Are there any other institutes in our hometown or in our country? All this is taken care of right now. Let me not only put all my eggs in one basket. Let me see now where I can send wealth elsewhere also. Every way he wants to contribute. He wants to have a share in everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he spends his wealth despite having love for it. Why? Because his love for Allah ta'ala is greater. And he wants that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you look at the rewards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةِ. That the people, the example of those who spend their wealth, but in the path of Allah, for the sake of Allah. If a person is spending for other reasons, then he is losing out. But if he is spending in the path of Allah, for the sake of Allah, then it is like a seed. A seed, and from that one seed, you get seven ears coming out. And each ear has got another 100 seeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining how the sawab for sadaqat is multiplied. So many fold it is multiplied. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala narrates the hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that hasten with your sadaqat. Badiru bis sadaqat. Hasten. When you have money to spend in any good cause, hasten with it. Spend it. Why? Because punishments, destruction cannot supersede the sadaqat. In other words, if a person is spending his wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that spending of the wealth becomes a means of protection for that person, for his family, for his community. If a community is generous, then that sadaqat becomes a protection. So many of our akabirin, our seniors, they have said that if you have to look at South Africa, if you have to look at our country, with so many gunas taking place, so many sins taking place, so much of israf and so many different things happening, but many of them have expressed that maybe the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still protecting this South African community and allowing for deen to flourish in this country is because of the large heartedness of the South African community. People from Muslim countries, you travel abroad, go to Muslim countries, you will find that all the masajid, the madaris, the darul ulooms, etc., if not all, 95% to 99%, are all run by those Muslim governments. Now the government is getting in revenue in the form of taxes or whatever, and they are running all these different institutes. But when you come to the South African community, then they still have to pay their tax to the government. The taxes that have to be paid to the government, they have to pay that. Right? Then the ibadat of zakat is a separate ibadat that they don't regard as a tax. Very, very happily they pay off their zakat. And over and above that, all our institutes, all our madaris, our darul ulooms, our masajid, everything is run by whom? Is run by the very community who is the minority. It's not run by the government. The person is paying his taxes to the government. Then he is paying all his obligatory duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not a tax. You must never ever regard it as a tax, a sign of Qiyamah, that people will start regarding zakat, etc. as a tax. But over and above this, with lillah, with clean lillah money, they are running all our darul ulooms, institutes, everything is being run how? We find maybe very, very few, I'm not sure of those organizations, maybe very, very few, 5% or 3% or something of institutes within our country that are going overseas for collections. Our institutes are run by our local people. And in fact, many, many institutes from overseas are run also by our local people. And yet we are a minority in our country. So many Akabirin have mentioned this, that probably it is due to the large-heartedness of the South African community that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still protecting the community, and Allah Pak is allowing for every work of deen to flourish in our country. But looking at the generosity, this aspect of generosity, sometimes a person can feel that, you know what, if I am going to be too generous, then I'll be left with nothing. What about the rainy day, and what about the stormy day, and the, all those things? Now I have to worry about the hailstorm also, because if I get hail damage, I need to sort my car out. So not only rainy day, I have to worry about the hail day also. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that sadaqah will never ever deplete a person's wealth. If anything, his wealth will grow. His wealth will grow with sadaqah. Whatever he contributes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him more and more barakat in his wealth. In fact, there is an incident of a certain sahabi who came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Normally our attitude is, when you're going through a crisis in our business, we go and consult with the business consultant that, I need to make more money. I'm not making enough, I need to make more money. But this sahabi had gone to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm making so much money, I don't need to make so much. I'm making so much, I don't need to make so much. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that if you don't want to make so much, what you need to do is cut down your contributions. Decrease your contributions, then you won't make so much. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I can't do. I can't decrease my contributions, that I have to carry on doing. So sadaqah will not decrease a person's wealth. Minimum you will get tenfold in return. Allah Pak didn't say that if you give 1 rand now, when you go in your car, you check your wallet, there'll be 10 rand there. No. But Allah Pak will give the barakat. It will come at some time or the other. You know, we cannot even begin to understand and fathom the charity of the people of the past. When we think of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and all, we think now they were very poor people living in mud huts and all that. They may have lived very simple lives, but they were so wealthy, and they had such hearts to give that wealth that Allah Pak gave them like that also. We, one farm for Qurbani will sell 1,000 sheep. And we say, 1,000 sheep the man sold for Qurbani, right? Like a big figure, 1,000 sheep we did. This town bought 1,000 sheep for Qurbani. Right? Listen to this incident. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abdullah bin Jafar radiallahu ta'ala, they're traveling, they're going for Hajj. The camel that was carrying their provisions, that camel got lost. So now they had no provisions. So they came across a Bedouin family. There was an elderly lady there. So they asked her, do you have anything to drink? So she said, okay, I can milk this goat for you. She had one she goat there. I can milk this goat. And she gave them the milk to drink. So they drank it. So then they asked her, do you have anything to eat? So she said, well, if you all slaughter this goat, I can cook it for you all, no problem. You can have some, have a meal also. So they slaughtered the goat and they partook of the meal. And then they told her that, look, we are Hashimis. We are from the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anytime you come into Madinah Munawwara, we are going for Hajj. When we return to Madinah Munawwara, you come and visit us, and we will exchange this gift, you know. We will reward you handsomely. So she didn't do it to get anything in return from them. She didn't know who her guests were. Right? Later on, the husband came. So she explained to the husband that, you know, we had some Hashimi guests here from the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is what I did. So we are men, right? Typical men. So you can understand how the husband reacted, right? After that, he kept quiet. So anyway, the zamana of Hajj finished, they returned home, the whole incident was over, forgotten, but these people now were in a poverty-stricken situation, because they were getting their rosy from this goat. Now they had nothing. So they were forced now to come to Madina Munawara to start getting some odd jobs. So what they started doing, they would collect dry dung and sell it as fuel. They were not begging, they would go collecting dry dung and sell it as fuel. And they would earn a few coppers this way. So one day Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala saw this woman, that she is collecting this dung. So he sent somebody to call her. He said, "Don't you recognize me?" He said, "No, I don't know who you are." He said, "Don't you remember we came to your house, you slaughtered the goat for..." "So is it you?" He said, "Yeah, no, it's me." So he tells one of his workers, he says, "I want you to get me 1,000 goats. 1,000 goats and 1,000 dirhams. Give it to her as a gift. And now after you give it to her, take her to my brother. Tell him what I give. Tell him what I give." So she goes now to Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. And the slave now tells Hazrat Hussein that this is what your brother Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, this is how he rewarded her. So he said, "Well, I'll match it, no problem. Give her also. Another 1,000 goats, another 1,000 dirhams." Then he sends her to Hazrat Abdullah bin Jafar radiallahu ta'ala. They go there. So he thinks that, well, those two are brothers. They jointly gave 2,000 goats, 2,000 dirhams. He said, "Well, I will give myself now 2,000 goats to her, 2,000 dirhams." Between three people, in a matter of a few minutes, they gave how much? 4,000 goats, 4,000 silver coins. Can we understand this? And he still tells her that if only you came to me first, I would have given you more. Once one person comes to Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, he says to Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, "I got some need, you know, in a bit of a push, bit of a problem." Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala says to him that, "Look, you have brought a major responsibility to me. You've come to me with a need. And I am afraid I won't be able to fulfill this need. Because no matter what I give you, it won't be enough. That you have come to me, you have done this great favor, and you have come to me with your need. You could have went to anybody else, but you favored me and came to me with your need. So if you will accept whatever little amount I can give you, I will give it to you. Because no matter how much I give you, I won't be fulfilling your haq of giving you." So he said, "Well, whatever little you can give me, I will appreciate it. I will be extremely happy." So Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, he tells his slave, he says that, "Go, whatever is balance from the 3,000 dirhams, 300,000 dirhams what I had given you," and from there he was giving. He said, "Whatever is balance, bring it and come." So the worker goes and he brings 50,000 dirhams. He says that, "Give it to him. And now, how is he going to carry all of this? Get few workers to help him to carry all of this." Because the money wasn't like ours, not so cheap, this paper money. That was real money, you know. So he said, "Now he needs help to carry, so get few workers to assist him." Then he says to his worker, "But hey, I had given you 500 dinars also. 500 gold coins. Where's those gold coins?" "So now I got that, is separate." He said, "Well, give him that also." And now as they were going, he says that, "Look, he'll have to pay these workers to carry all that coins. Now there's no money left to pay the workers." He removes his garment. And he says, "Sell this garment, whatever money you'll get, pay the workers." Then he is being told that, "Look, now there's nothing left here in the house to buy any food or anything." He said, "Don't worry, Allah Pak will make the means for that." Now we mustn't listen to this type of story and go start emptying the house out. Hazrat Sufyan rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that at one stage to keep wealth was regarded as a despicable thing. But in today's time, to have a little bit of wealth by you is a shield. You will save yourself from zillat save yourself from oppression, save yourself from many things. So a person must keep what he requires, but his excess, he must spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now after I give this long bayan now, there has to be some tashkil, right? But wallahi, the bayan is not solely for the tashkil. As I said to you, there are many, many avenues to spend your wealth. You must find out which is the best way for you to spend your wealth. But generally, when it comes to musallas for the masjid, then everybody wants to, whenever you're collecting money for masjid, so people want for the musallas, they want to contribute towards the musallas. So the collection for the masjid musallas will now be opened, and we open it first to our musallis. We don't want to just get one person just come say, right, I'll pay for the musallas. Everybody wants to pay for musallas. But we said, no, we'll open it to our musallis first. The musallas are costing 600 rand a square meter. So whatever you wish to contribute towards that, there will be some pamphlets given to you later with some banking details, Uncle Suleiman's name. You can contribute it, you know, whatever you want to give, you can give towards that. And these musallas that we have, they're not going to be changed. This musalla is very good. Alhamdulillah, Allah Pak has blessed us with good musallas. Our muazzin, Hafiz Abdul Hamid, is looking after it nicely. So we don't have to change these musallas. But that portion there, that carpet there, we have loaned it. Doesn't belong to the masjid. They lent it to us. So there we need to put musalla. And there's few patches that have been damaged. There we need to change the back and the extension part. So we're only putting musallas there. We're not changing this front musalla. This, with your du'as, will last us for a few more years, inshallah, many more years. So those of you that wish to contribute towards this cause, you can contribute towards it. And as I said, the old bayan wasn't only for this cause here. There are many, many causes. Make du'a, Allah Pak, accept our wealth in that cause where it is best for us. Allah Pak, give us tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله